Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoors Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. As I film and take photos across this great country of ours, some of my favorite photographs are of fawns. That little baby deer spots on its body. I'm telling you, it is nature's beauty at its best. And you know, people often ask me, do you ever get tired of filming nature? Well, the answer, obviously, again, is no. It's that photo of that fawn, that picture that's in your mind. Well, these crepuscular creatures are found from southern Canada to just about every state in the continental U.S. And if you don't know this, crepuscular means they're active dawn and dusk. So if you're looking to get that great photo out there, you need to get out just before sunrise so you could be there. Or just plan on taking your dinner out there, having dinner as it gets to dusk. You'll be able to see them out there as well. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, their jumping ability. Well, if there was a slam dunk contest and we allowed white-tailed deer, you know, I know it's tough for them to palm the ball with their hooves, they would be able to jump and out-jump every human that you could imagine out there. Because I'll give you a fun story. Many years ago growing up, I'm with my cousin Jimmy Toots. We're out on his snowmobiles out in the backcountry, and we're on his trail, and we're just flying down his trail. And somewhere, something must have spooked the deer because they wouldn't run towards us because of the noise of the snowmobiles. And I am actually on a snowmobile, and I look up, and I am looking at the belly of a whitetail. I'm not joking. He probably was close to 9 feet. His belly was probably close to 9 feet above me. So if they ever talk about, can reindeer fly? Well, I sure know that whitetail, yeah, they can fly. So let's talk, besides his belly, let's talk about some of the characteristics of this awesome animal. Color. The first one you probably know, and it's the one we think about, is the tan to brown. You know, we have that little coloration there. But that's summertime color. In the winter, the hairs change a little bit in color, grayish brown. All right, so you have that. So let's talk about on its body where you would find the white. So we're going to find the white, I already said, on its stomach, but you're going to find it on its throat, around its eyes and nose, and on the underside of his tail. Hence, that's why we call him the white-tailed deer. Now, when we look at weight, the weight can vary from the males, which are the bucks, to the females, which are the does, by quite a bit. The male is he's just plain larger. You can go 150 pounds to 300 pounds. And 300-pound deer right now is finding a monstrous, like, 5-year-old buck somewhere out there. That'd be a real, real large one. Most are not that size. And the females, the does, you're going 90 to 200. And again, 200 is the extreme. But yes, hey, we do find them out there. There aren't many, but we do find them. Well, the bucks are the only ones that have antlers. And during the rut, and many of you have already seen this, they're going to battle for the rights to mate. And somebody's going to say to me, well, I see all these deer, and I find very few antlers. And you go, well, why? Well, you see, the antlers, they are made of calcium. So after the rutting season, when the antlers do fall off, then you've got your rodent population, specifically your mice, that are out there munching on antlers. Because it's funny, your doctor says, well, you need more calcium in your diet. And after the rutting season, the mouse doctors are saying, you have too much calcium in your diet. But that's really seriously where they go to. Now, there are, I guess I'm going to give you my favorite cousins, because I just get to check all these out all the time in the outdoors, of the white-tailed deer. One of them is the mule deer. And if you've never seen a mule deer, you get out west. We were outside the Grand Canyon about this a long time ago, just on a adventure of hikes and whatnot. And I've got these, and people just commonly call them muleys. I've got these photos of some muleys right outside the canyon there. Some, you know what? Because I always are putting things up on Facebook and Tumblr and Twitter and all these other sites that some of them I don't even know where I put them. They're all there. Maybe I'll put one of my muley photos up there. And the two other cousins that I happen to have extensive knowledge about, and because with my grizzly bear research and my wolf research, they were either there or for the wolves, they may have been some of their food sources, are the elk and the moose. So the whitetail is the smallest member of the deer family, because when you're putting them alongside an elk and a moose, you're talking about animals that look like horses on steroids next to the whitetail. You could see why they're such a large animal. Now, here's a cool story about the past, Native American youth. For them to get into the hunting party, so here was your rite of passage. All year long, they would go out and they would stalk. Stalk means quietly go. Because again, when we think about stalk, we think about stalking in humans and bad things. But out in the wild, we are learned to track and stalk animals the same way that animals who are predators track and stalk other animals. And you will actually see Native American youth going up and stalking right next to a whitetail and pulling out some of the fur. And they would add that fur onto their choker. And the next year, the young Native American who had mostly the most, I've been babbling through this, but the most whitetail deer hair on his choker, he was allowed to join the hunting party. So this was like a rite of passage. So just to give you a little bit more about, you know, anytime that I could add in a little bit about history, I'd love to do it because I, you know, I'm the science guy, but as I travel across this country, if I could find some American history piece, I am definitely going to add it into it. Now, the habitats of the whitetail, it varies so much. We can go from fields to meadows to farmland. And the problem, the farmland poses a problem to farmers in loss of crops. Farmers, you know, we don't think about it in terms of dollars and cents, but a farmer has to think about it in terms of dollars and cents because of, you know, the amount of damage done to his crops. So because we keep taking habitat away, and you know me, I'm always talking about protecting and preserving habitat, we find many deer in urban and suburban communities right now. And once they're in a community, and if any of you have them near you, you'd understand this very much so, they will mow down your gardens. There are so many shrubs around your home, they will just mow down to the ground. And hey, you can go online, and they call them deer-proof crops, and all they are is, we all have taste buds that we like certain things. There are certain plants that deer do not like, and for that reason, you can get plants that are like that. One of my buddies, Farmer George, Ascropolis Farms, and George had all of his, now think about this, his farm was fenced in to keep deer out, except there was one field where he had specific crops that deer didn't like. And he goes, I don't have to fence that one. Doesn't cost me any fencing. And if you ever want to watch that, you can go to joeybee.tv, joeybee.tv, and watch the adventures. You could see Farmer George out there. But don't go there now, because you need to listen to this and learn more about whitetail deer. Now, I just mentioned to you about the mowing down. My biggest problem isn't a whitetail around my house. It's the groundhog. I've got one groundhog who will actually come up my front stairs on my front porch, and he will mow down, like I'll put, like, because I container grow quite a bit, and I'll have like bush beans inside there, and he'll mow down the bush beans as soon as they're like 3-4 inches up, and I'll replant. So the first set is still growing a couple of leaves. The new ones are just opening up, and he'll come on there and mow it down again. So, hey, if there's a deer around here, I don't mind. The groundhog, well, we got a little battle going on there. Now, the predators, and I'm going to talk about a couple predators that, once again, dear to my heart. I think one of the coolest animals in the wild, he's pretty elusive, tough to find him because he's nocturnal, is a bobcat. So the bobcat, coyotes, and wolves, and you're going to see coyote packs and wolf packs are a little bit larger where there are deer. Makes sense, because if I have a larger source of food, well, then I can have a larger pack to go. That goes along. So there's an association between those two. And they are the most popular game animal in the U.S. And I'm just going to add one other piece in there before I head back into, well, we also have many collisions with cars. So there's a lot of car truck damage due to them. My sister living out in the countryside, One of the deer, we called the deer the Kung Fu deer. She's driving down a road, county road, so it's driving at a good clip. A deer tries to jump over her car, puts the hoof through the windshield, bounces off, like doesn't, like not the whole body, sort of like kicks it. So that's what we joked about the Kung Fu. Kicks the windshield, lands, and my sister just takes her, you know, so she's driving, just takes a look, and the deer just kept running across the road and into the woods. So a little Kung Fu story there. Now, I'm up at Stokes State Forest. I'm at a winter grad class. It's the evening. And what I loved about this grad class, you're out there in cabins, so, you know, daytime you're doing all your classwork. And at nighttime, they had the dining hall, another large log cabin there. And one night, they had a bluegrass band in there and food. So, hey, me, bluegrass music and food, life is pretty good. I look out the window next to me, and it's, you know, there's some of the outside lights, and there's an albino deer just basically standing there, just almost like looking at me. It's one of those few times in life, and why would I think about taking a camera to an evening event? So I didn't get a picture of him. And I've seen a couple albinos out there, but every now and then you will run into an albino white deer. Once again, going back to the fawn, you want to talk about beauty. That's it. Now, here's another thing about deer, but you would probably know this. White-tailed deer have great eyesight and great hearing. Now, if you're in the wild and you wanted to just hear something a little bit better, then I always say make yourself deer ears. If you take your hands and cup your ears, because think about the size of a deer's ears, you cup your hands like that, you will be able to pick up much more sound that way. So whether it doesn't matter where you are, if you want to hear a little bit better, I would definitely recommend that. And a fun fact about white-tailed deer is they happen to be very good swimmers. One day I'm in growing up Delaware River, and I'm out there and I'm fishing. So I'm in my waders. It may have been summertime and warmer water. So I'm fishing for smallies or something like that. And I'm fishing there and I'm looking, and there's three or four whitetails. I think in my mind, three whitetails, maybe about 50 yards in front of me, just going, I want to swim right across the river here. So they went from one state to another, just crossing the river, but they actually swam the river to do it. Now, white-tailed deer, they often carry deer ticks on them. Some of these ticks, not all, because people think about and they just say, well, all of them. No, some of these ticks, the deer ticks, carry Lyme's disease. But I also want you to know that the number one carrier of deer ticks are not deer. They happen to be white-footed mice. So the number one carrier of Lyme's disease happens to be white-footed mice. And if you're out hiking along somewhere and you take a break because you see these beautiful rock walls, specifically out in the east from farmers who are, you know, picking up the rocks in their fields over the years, and I'm talking about in the 1700s, 1800s, as they're making their farmland, beautiful rock walls, and you sit down, you take a break on them, that's one of the main places that you can get a deer tick on you, because white-footed mice have made their habitat into those rock walls. So just something for you to think about out there. So now let's talk vocalization. And what sound do they make? Because you see, it's funny. People often think that some animals are silent and don't make a sound. For example, now I'll give you, we're talking about mice. I'll go away from mice. I'll go to mice right now. Pick up a dog toy or a cat toy and, you know, you squeak it. Squeak, squeak. And you go, well, what is it? And why are the animals so, like, why do they want to go after those toys? That is the same squeak a mouse makes. But take a listen to this sound right now. And this is the sound that a white-tailed deer makes. Well, that is the snorting of air through his nose. So I'll give you a fun story that goes along with that. My great buddy, the Feather Man, he and I canoe ride. And we're canoeing down a river that leads into the Great Swamp National Wildlife Refuge. So we're paddling through, and the river, and I'm kind of hoping you all have been there. The river's just getting narrow as they're getting smaller, getting narrower. So we're in a small little, probably 10 feet wide at this point. And the Featherman says, I got to get out, because, hey, he gets out. With a name like the Featherman, you know he's a big time birder. His binos are always with him. So he gets out to step on shore. I am in the back of the canoe, he is in the front of the canoe. He gets out, and he's taking one step on land. There was a big old buck just asleep right there in his day bed. And all of a sudden, and I'm just telling you, in this instant, the buck snorts and steps up and runs in the opposite direction. The feather man, and I am telling you, as he was taking one step out, jumped backwards in my mind, because you always have this picture in your mind. Today, it's like in super slow motion, like, and he lands back in the canoe. And it's like, you know, and I always say this, when it happens to your friends, it is funny. If it was to happen to you, it's not so funny at the time. So I get a good laugh at it because I got to hear the deer, see the deer, see the feather man, and then a good laugh. And I guess as when he calmed down a little bit and cleaned his shorts up, I'm sure, after that moment, it was a little bit more funny to him at that moment. So just a funny thing. And then, you know, growing up on our family farm, you know, we would go out and the manly thing, a bunch of my cousins and I, we'd all go out there and we'd go camping in the fields. And there's this one field we love to camp in. And I do remember this, you know, it's sitting around the campfire. And what are you trying to do? Trying to outdo yourself with ghost stories, trying to scare the whatever out of each other. And it is now nighttime. So we're all inside our tents and, you know, I'm sure a couple of us in a tent here, a couple tent there. And all of a sudden you start to hear a noise. And like you sound asleep, your eyes, you open up, you're going, like, first thing is like, hey, because me, I am from being a kid to this day, I am a super sound sleeper. And your eyes open up, it's like, because are the ghost stories coming to your mind? And you unzip the tent and you go outside. It happened to be, and I guess everything was perfect. It was a full moon night on a hill right there. There's a big old buck. And he's just out there, and it wasn't even a rut. And he's out there, and he's just snorting on top of it. And I don't know if it was the full moon. I don't know if it was us in his habitat, which I doubt it. But he was just out there snorting. And again, those pictures in your mind that make everything about the whitetail and everything about nature, and you just say, nature is awesome. The whitetail deer is an awesome animal. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.